Welcome to the Productivityist Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Vardy. And once again, I'm bringing you three more things. And Judy was on the program before. I'll link to that in the show notes. You should be able to click on that and listen to that episode. But let's just get into it. I wanted to ask Judy some more questions, three very specific questions about three more things. And so let's just get into it. Here is my conversation, more of my conversation with Judy here on the Productivityist Podcast. Judy Machado Duke is back here with me for three more things. Thanks for sticking around, Judy.
Thank you. I'm so grateful.
All right. So I was going to start off with your influences, that who influences you now. But I want to talk about something you touched on during the weekly episode. If you haven't listened to the weekly episode yet, go back and listen to that. Because we talked about this idea of the concept of a free day that you discussed. And you can kind of reintroduce it a little bit here. But one of the things that I've actually had workshops where people, when they theme their days, and anyone who's listening here knows that with time crafting, theming, daily themes are important, is I'm not a big believer in calling a day a free day, because it gives your brain and even, I mean, it gives you too many options, because mm-hmm. unless you have a specific modality called free that you look to, that you go, okay, this is what I would do on my free day, mm-hmm. because it's too, I think frameworks foster freedom. I think if you have too much mm-hmm. freedom, then your brain goes, I could do whatever I want, so I'm going to do maybe not the best thing, or I'm not going to do mm-hmm. anything, or it gets stuck in this paralysis analysis or analysis paralysis situation. Mm-hmm. Do you have a free day? And if you do, how do you deal with it so that you don't feel that when the free day is done, you're like, that it's fulfilling, or that, the weekly episode we called filling your cup, so that you feel like your cup has been filled on a free day, as opposed to a day where you, like a focus day where you know it's been filled.
Mm-hmm. I love this question. Thank you. What I do, first of all, I call my free days, I call them my goddess day.
right.
Because it's my day to just relax and be myself and be on my own. And what I do, what I found, is that I have to pre-plan these days. So I pre-plan, what am I going to do on those days? Because if they show up, and I love to, you know, I'm such an entrepreneur and I love to build businesses, then I'm just going to default to checking my emails, doing more work, doing more research, getting a book on business. So I pre-plan these days. So I know, especially in Toronto, we have so many events going on, especially spring, summer, and fall, what's happening on Saturday that I want to go out to. I always take time with my mom. We'll go for a hike, do something in nature. I love to read, wake up in the mornings and just get on the couch and read sometimes for an hour, hour and a half. I don't have kids, so I have the luxury of doing that. But I have these sort of things I always do. I always go with my mom to a coffee shop. We have an espresso. We hang out. We talk. Then we go out for a walk in nature. So I always pre-plan them. I find that is the key in making sure that you have a day that really is all about you, and a day where you actually are able to stay away from work, stay away from just make it about fun and being present to, you know, nature even, being present to your family. On those days, I mostly, not all the time, will not have my phone with me, because, mm-hmm. you know, my husband knows that, you know, I'm on a free day. My mom knows, you know, everybody who needs to know knows, and no one's looking for me. For me right now, my Saturdays are free days. Right. I'm about to change that to Thursdays, because I'm going to be doing all these summer and spring and summer workshops. But Saturdays for me, for quite some time now, have been my free day.
Now, here's an interesting thing. So you talk about how it's your free day. And you're making the change. Is it going to, when summer ends, are you going to flip it back, or are you going to keep it the way it was?
It really depends. I've never actually done workshops on Saturdays. Most of my workshops have always been on weeknights, and they've been right. so successful and wonderful. And I thought, well, you know what? I'm going to try this out. It really is going to depend on, you know, there are people who I find who just can't make it out to an evening workshop. So it really depends. I love Saturdays because there's so many things going on. Mm-hmm. But even if it was, let's say, you know, I probably won't be doing a workshop on a Saturday in the evening. So Saturday evenings will always be part of that goddess time, you know,
right. Yeah. And I love Saturdays being more busy for you, like in terms of you doing a workshop, because Thursdays being a free day, you're going to have more propensity to have, like, you're right. not going to go to a crowded restaurant and like, oh, it's Saturday, I guess I can't mm-hmm. get a table, right? Like Thursday is going to be a little bit easier. So like I do, you weigh the pros. You didn't just arbitrarily choose Thursday.
Yeah. Right? No, exactly. Right.
Right. All right. So next question, the second thing, and this is trickier because we all know, and I'm sure when you're building the playbook, although you've been building the you've got your own planner for it, but you're like, I want to deliver this to the world. Let me look at all the planners that are out there. And you did that and you went, wow, there are a lot of planners out there. Because when I'm looking at your planner, and my wife, like I said during the weekly episode, she looked at it and she's gonna spend some time with it for sure. But I looked at it, I'm like, oh, the back and forth, flipping back and forth. That's very bullet journal-esque, mm-hmm. right? Which is not mm-hmm. saying that you took that from bullet journal. It's just, it's the way thing. I mean, that mm-hmm. that's common in a lot of planners.
Yeah,
You know, the idea of journaling inside of it, the idea of there's so many things. So when you built this thing, I guess the two questions that I have is, and I'll start with a tougher one. Who is this journal not for? Like who, because you can't build something for everybody. I think that's mm-hmm. the big thing. So who is it not for? And then we'll talk about who it's, I mean, who it's for, I think is pretty apparent, but I want to start with the who it's not for.
Mm-hmm. Who it's not for? That's a very good question. So I think it's not for, somebody who might be somebody who just, that's a very good question. it's probably for somebody who is just not interested in writing too much.
Right, right.
Just wants to get sort of my points down, what are my key things I have to do, and that's it. I guess that's what I would say who this is not for.
Right. I mean, I look at this and I mean, there are people who use like a water tracking app, so they're probably not going to, although, I mean, again, mm-hmm. you can get into app overload. I think one thing mm-hmm. I noticed is, and again, because we're inside the community, it's a safer place, is that, you know, the scheduling, the appointment tracker, this is probably not for someone who has a ton of appointments every single
right.
day.
Right, right, right. True.
Because there's for not sure. a lot of, but, and here's the tricky part is that would, and this is where confirmation bias shows up, which drives me nuts, or even cognitive bias, both probably in some instances, is like, well, if there's not enough room for schedules, then I have to have supreme control over my time to use this planner, so it's not for me. That's not true. That's mm-hmm. not true at all. Mm-hmm. Just because you have to schedule a lot of things doesn't mean that this planner, that may not be true for you. You may say, hey, you know what, I have a lot of meetings, this isn't going to work. But it doesn't mean that this planner isn't for you if you feel like you don't have control. I mean, we have more control over our time than we think. If mm-hmm. And again, it's like, and speaking to holistic productivity, if you are the person that says, I don't have time to meditate, you need to meditate. Mm-hmm. If you say, I don't have time to journal, you need to journal. Mm-hmm. So if you're saying I don't, you know, going through the initial steps of the life purpose playbook, if you say I don't have time to do that, you need to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. And you know what, the comment about the appointments, so true. There are people who use this planner who, let's use that example of the appointments, you know, the book only has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 sections for appointments every day. So let's say you have more, you maybe have an app that you use for your appointments or, you know, something else. So there are people who use this book, but might use other apps for elements right. within the book.
Or it should send a message. Like if you have more than 5 appointments a day,
right.
something's wrong. Right. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. So it again, I think any planner or app that has been well thought out mm-hmm. creates just as many opportunities for, it creates opportunities in ways you wouldn't necessarily expect. Like, oh, look at all the room I have for, like, the limitations, I think, and the boundaries create more opportunities than you think. If you say, hey, like, a great example would be, when it comes to the, and I think you have to have the framework in place first, which is why I love the fact that you have this at the front of the book and throughout. It's literally throughout you're getting reminders. And I like how some of them are just showing up where you might need that trigger of, oh, mm-hmm. right, that thing, right? As opposed to just checking off boxes and going through the motions. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden you get this pattern break, classic Tony Robbins, classic NLP stuff, the old pattern break. that shows up there and says, hey, don't forget, why are we like, is this the stuff you really should be doing? Like, what, like, don't mm-hmm. forget to, but it just, again, if you have a framework that creates boundaries or makes you look at boundaries that you need to create, that's a good thing. It's not, and the great thing is that you get to create them. So, for example, you may say, I don't do, like you said, for example, Saturday is your workshop day at this point, right? Mm-hmm. Let's just say that's what it is. But your boundary is still at 5 o'clock. That's it. Like, mm-hmm. I now mm-hmm. shift into, that's a boundary. And if you respect it, everyone else will respect it. If mm-hmm. you don't respect it, no one else will. So if you start littering the playbook up with scheduled appointments, and then you're really connecting with it, you say, well, why do I have 14 appointments today? Like, what's going on, right? So I think that there's messages in the subtext just as much within the text, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, even you know, within the daily pages, you know, my celebration experience, what you do there every morning is you look at yesterday and you celebrate yeah. something from yesterday. And then there's a gratitude section for today. What am I present to right in this moment? But yeah, you're right. It's all these, you know, sort of interesting methodologies, which in my opinion are part of that holistic productivity, right? It's not just about do. It's right. stop and enjoy and what was great about yesterday and what's great about right now before I get, you know, really lifting up your vibe, your vibration and your energy so that you can, you know, really be in a state where you're able to do some amazing work.
Well, and the other thing is that in your celebration gratitude area, you could be celebrating something you discovered by something that was not so great. And you could, exactly. in the gratitude area, you could say, I'm grateful that I learned this lesson mm-hmm. because now I know what to do going forward. So it's not all, and I think that's the last thing I wanted to discover is people get this sense or this idea of being holistic or, you know, being heart-centered as all sunshine and roses, right? Like it's all like mm-hmm, mm-hmm. super positive. There's no, you know, you've got rose-colored glasses on. For me to try to shatter that myth is probably not nearly as effective as you to kind of bring it, because this mm-hmm. is your area of work. So mm-hmm. when someone says, oh, holistic, that's like, that's all. And the term you'll hear is like frou-frou, or it's kind mm-hmm. of, can you, can, yeah. Or old woo-woo or whatever you want to say. It's all, yeah. What do you say to people who again, they have this preconceived notion in their head, where it's all mm-hmm. like, oh, you don't look, there's no realism attached to it. They're very cynical about it.
Yeah, well, that's part of, again, when I say holistic productivity, part of what I believe is needed in really living a lifestyle where you're feeling nurtured is to have a group of people who can motivate and encourage you, who are going through the same thing. Because we are all going through challenges. Doesn't matter who you are in the world, we're all going through challenges. We all have certain blocks that we want to release. And so therefore it's not always all sunshine. There is stuff, there's darkness within every single one of us. There's stuff that once we're able to actually look at it and really, you know, work to release this, I find the best environment in doing that is when you're with others who you can talk about it. I know you have a group. It's so important mm-hmm. to have a group so that you can share some of this stuff too, because it's not always about being positive and everything's great and look at me, my gratitude, because there is stuff every single day that people are dealing with. And to be able to share that within, you know, their challenges within the good stuff too. It's not just about the celebrations. It's what are the challenges? And that's part of, again, what a group does is within a group, you're not just looking for answers, but you're hopefully sharing with others when you hear within the group that what they're going through, something that you've been able to overcome to really support them.
Final question. This is mm-hmm. the real third thing now. Okay, so we talked about Tony Robbins being an influence. Who are your influencers now? I mean, Tony Robbins probably is still part of that group, but who mm-hmm. else do you look to and you go, you know what, I admire what they do. I look to them for counsel. I find them to be mm-hmm. mentors. Who would you put in that category?
For me, the person who I have the most respect for at the moment, I just love what he's doing. I follow everything he does, is a gentleman by the name of Peter Diamantis. I'm sure mm-hmm. you're familiar
yep.
with him.
Yes, and I am.
I just love, he has Abundance 360, and he just has this, he's committed his life to solving the world's biggest problems. And he associates with people who have the same mission. And the stuff that he is doing and the collaborations that he's creating and the changes that he is making, I am just completely in awe. Every time I get his newsletter, every time I watch something from him, it's so beautiful to think that everything for him is about how do we solve this first before we look at you know, money. And it's just so powerful. And it really helped me a few years back in really also finding a cause that was really important to me and bringing that cause in everything I do and donating part of my profits to that cause, whether it's the book, it's written in the book or anything. And so that's part of also, it really inspired me to bring that as part of my sharing with others is think about what cause, and there's so many causes that are important to all of us, but what's the one that is the most important to us, that when we think about it, it just, you know, it breaks your heart. And you know that if you just hold hands with other people who are already doing something within that cause, that you can make a difference and make that part of your business, even not just your home life, but how can you incorporate that in your business with your team, and just everybody becomes involved in that. Because I really feel like what he's doing, if everybody had that one cause, can you imagine what the world would look like, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And I absolutely just love that. So he inspires me with that, and I just love love all of his work.
Judy, this has been great. Again, a couple of episodes that I've recorded today, the bonus episodes have been almost as long as the weekly episode. So it just goes to show how much great value that people who are joining me on the show are offering. So Judy, thanks for sticking around to talk about three more things.
You know, Mike, I want to thank you because you are doing such an amazing job. I just love what you're doing, bringing people together, sharing pretty much everybody's, you know, secrets to success. And there's such an abundance of information that you have out there. And I just, I often joke that, you know, you don't even have to go to school these days, that you can literally just get on these podcasts and learn so much. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you for doing this and for inviting me.